My dearly beloved in Christ, today being the 13th of September, it is the anniversary of Our Lady's fifth apparition at Fatima in 1917. And so I would like to speak about Our Lady of Fatima and this apparition in particular. And we notice first off that our Blessed Mother chose to appear on the 13th of the month, beginning on May the 13th and for 6 months in a row. And that is interesting because we know that there are those people who are superstitious and they believe in numbers and significance of numbers, and they think that 13 is a bad number. And so they'll avoid traveling if they can on the 13th of the month and have various superstitious ideas. And we know that that is not only foolish, but even sinful. It is a sin. Superstition is a sin against the first commandment. And so Our Lady dispels superstitious ideas by her choosing the 13th of the month on which to appear. And after appearing on May, June, July the 13th, on August the 13th, some evil men, in particular the mayor of the neighboring Orem, kidnapped the children deceitfully. Said he was going to give them a ride in his car and then take them to the kova where Our Lady would appear. And so they got in the car and he sped off to his mayoral residence and locked the children up in jail and tried to force them to tell him the secret, which despite the threats of torture and even death, they would not reveal. And even though they were not present in the kova at noon on the 13th of August because they had been kidnapped, nevertheless, the people who gathered there observed the same phenomena that typically accompanied Our Lady's apparitions on the other months. There were changes in nature, a stillness, a change of color in the atmosphere, and a golden-colored globe that descended and sat over the tree. There was a little cloud on top of the tree. And those miraculous manifestations took place, even though the children were not there. And several days later, Lucia and her cousin Francisco were in a place with their sheep called Valinhos. And all of a sudden, Lucia observed those same phenomena. And so she knew Our Lady was about to appear. And she appealed to, I don't remember whether it was her brother or cousin, his name was John, and she said, run and get Jacinta, because I believe Our Lady is coming and she must be here. And so he ran off and Jacinta arrived just in time. And on August the 19th, Our Lady complained, of course, of the children being kidnapped and said, because of that, the miracle on October the 13th would not be as spectacular as it otherwise would have been. Now, of course, we know that the miracle of the sun on October the 13th is something that had never been witnessed in the entire history of the world, a phenomenon which was seen by some 70 to 100,000 people in the COVID era, believers and unbelievers alike, who fell to their knees and beat their breasts and prayed for God's mercy and forgiveness. And so imagine what it would have been like had the children not been kidnapped. At any rate, after that apparition on the 19th of August, the children took some branches from the little bush on which Our Lady appeared, which is interesting because they never would do that at the kova. They treated that little tree over which Our Lady appeared with respect and did not want to take the branches. But they did after the apparition at Valinhos. And they took them home and put them on the table. And the members of their family noticed this wonderful fragrance they had never perceived before coming from those branches. And even Lucia's mother, who before this time kept accusing her daughter of being a liar, would not believe that Lucia was telling the truth and persecuted her. Even Mama Rosa noticed that wonderful scent and began to soften. and began to believe that there really was something heavenly taking place. Well, on the 13th of September, a crowd of 30,000 gathered for the fifth apparition, and I will simply read a short account of this event. On September 13th, there were 30,000 people present before the arrival of the children, and throughout the whole assembly were little groups reciting the rosary with a reverence and an emotion such as they had never known before. Precisely at noon, the kneeling throng saw the sun grow dim and the atmosphere take on the color of dull gold. Suddenly, not from the children this time, but from the crowd itself, cries of surprise and joy broke out from end to end of that vast assembly. "There she is over there. Look, she is coming. She's coming." In the cloudless sky, a luminous globe had suddenly appeared before the eyes of the astonished crowd. Moving from east to west, it glided slowly and majestically across the heavens, while a light white cloud enveloped the oak tree and the children. More wonderful still, while the globe still moved and the three children remained hidden behind the cloud, a great shower of white roses suddenly fell from the heavens, reached almost to the earth, and then dissolved from sight. In awe, the crowd listened to Lucy's voice as she conversed with the invisible lady. Once again, she stressed the necessity of reciting the rosary to bring the war to an end. And I'll read to you the exact words Our Lady spoke on that fifth apparition to Lucia, which was the briefest of all six apparitions. Very brief. Our Lady simply requested again the recitation of the rosary every day. She also told the children that God was pleased with their sacrifice of wearing a rough cord around their waist, but they were not to wear it when they went to sleep. And that is interesting. You see Our Lady's motherly solicitude for these children. Now, because of her repeated requests for prayer and sacrifice for the conversion of sinners, the children one day were walking along and saw an old rope lying on the side of the road. And it was long enough they could cut it in three, and each had a piece long enough to tie around the waist. And they wore that because it was rough and scratchy and itchy and was a sacrifice that they could offer for the conversion of sinners. So again, let us listen to the words of Our Lady to Lucia at the fifth apparition. "Continue to say the rosary to bring about the end of the war. In October, our Lord will come also, and Our Lady of the Sorrows of Carmel, and Saint Joseph with the child Jesus, to bless the world. God is content with your sacrifices, but does not wish you to sleep with the rope. Wear it only during the day." Then Lucia said, "They have begged me to ask you many things, the cure of some sick persons, of a deaf mute." "Yes," answered the lady, "some I will cure, others not. In October, I will perform the miracle so that all will believe." And that was it. That was the end of the very brief fifth apparition. But notice Our Lady once again asked for the daily recitation of the rosary. Do we fulfill that request of our Blessed Mother? The rosary is so important, so powerful with God, such a beautiful prayer, that we should never let a day pass without praying the rosary. And let us also remember Our Lady's request for the conversion, for prayers and penance for the conversion of sinners. On the 13th of July, the third apparition, the children were given a vision of the fires of hell, and they were terrified at the sight of all the flames and the souls that were consigned to hell. And Our Lady said to them, "Here you see hell, where the souls of poor sinners go. So many souls go to hell because there is no one to pray and make sacrifices for them." And these three young children were very generous, full of love for God and a desire to save souls. And so they began to spend extra time in prayer and to perform many sacrifices. And that is a wonderful admonition to us. If these three little children could do that, why cannot we? Our Lady taught the children a prayer when they perform a sacrifice. She said, "Say, O my Jesus, it is for love of thee, in reparation for the offenses committed against the Immaculate Heart of Mary, and for the conversion of sinners." God has given to each of us a soul to save. And you and I have our first responsibility to save our soul. But we should not be content with that. We must fulfill that responsibility because no one else is going to save our soul for us. That is a duty God has given to us. But we should not just be so self-centered that that's our only concern. We should desire the salvation of other souls and bring it about by our prayers and sacrifices. And first and foremost, by removing sin from our lives. Because if we want to ask God for blessings, for favors, and in particular, the conversion of sinners, then we cannot do that if we ourselves are not in his grace. So first and foremost, to remove mortal sin. And then second, insofar as it is humanly possible, to overcome venial sin in our lives. Because then we become a more powerful intercessor before God. We think of the saints, those dear friends of God, who were able to obtain just about anything they asked. Why did God listen to their prayers? Because he loved them. They were dear to him. There was a bond, a closeness between God and his saints. And we should aspire to become a saint. And that simply means to do our best, number one, to eliminate sin from our lives. Second, to strive for humility, to pray for it, to be wary of pride and overcome pride. Because God resists the prayers of a proud person and draws near to the humble. We have that story in today's gospel where our Lord noticed the Pharisees going to the highest places at table, the first places. And he said, "Better to sit in the lowest place." And then he who invited you comes in and says, "Move up higher." And then you're honored in the presence of others. But he said, "He who exalts himself shall be humbled." And that is a lesson we all must take to heart and strive for humility, which is a daily, relentless goal to acquire that wonderful virtue of humility. So we eliminate sin insofar as at least all mortal sin, and venial sin insofar as we can, as is humanly possible, to do our best to eliminate at least all deliberate venial sin. And then we strive with a humble heart to fulfill our daily duties, to pray as devoutly as we can, and again, to perform sacrifice for the conversion of sinners. It should hurt us, it should pain us to realize the billions of people that live in the world, how many die every day? It's something like, I don't know the exact number, on average, more than 100 people die every minute of every day. And how many of those souls are lost for all eternity? God alone knows, but we know that there is terrible immorality rampant in our modern society, and so many souls go to hell, as Our Lady pointed out. So let us rededicate ourselves to living the message of Our Lady of Fatima, fulfilling our daily duty, sanctifying ourselves, amendment of life, praying the rosary every day, and also being concerned to do our part to bring about the salvation of others by our prayers, our sacrifices, our living a good Catholic life, to be concerned that so many souls go to hell, and to do all that we can to bring about their conversion by sanctifying ourselves and by our life of prayer and sacrifice. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.